Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of C.J. Lovick, and we're going to be talking about his website, The Story of Jesus. Now, as you listen to the news today, you hear that the number of new jobs this last month was very discouraging. Ordinarily, you need 150,000 new jobs a month just to keep even, because new people are coming into the workforce. They had anticipated there'd be at least 180,000 new jobs, and of course, they were just, they were about 90% off. There were 18,000 new jobs. Basically, of course, it means an awful lot of people are losing their jobs, more and more people out of work. They talk about 14 million people out of work. It's probably twice that many if you look at the U6 figures. Those are the people who are unemployed, who certainly have given up looking for work, who are underemployed. Those are based upon the government's own statistics in taking out the life of the death-birth ratio. So what does that have to do with the story of Jesus? Well, the difficulty is that we try to look at what happens economically and politically and internationally as if these were could be divorced completely from the spiritual. And you can't. Everything has a spiritual implication, and we're moving into what I believe are very, very difficult times. In fact, we're told that we'll know that our Lord is coming again, because it'll be as it was in the days of Noah, and that in the days of Noah, everything was bad, everything was terrible. The country was depraved, the world was depraved at that time. It was just so terrible that God intervened and destroyed everything. And why? Because there was immorality, and there was certainly violence, and there was everything wrong was going on in the world. And then you stop and look at what's going on today, and there's violence and immorality and the things that are happening. Half of the Christian marriages end up in divorce. 40% of children in America are born out of wedlock. Certainly the courts have held, the government has held, that homosexuality and homosexual marriage is perfectly all right. And there are wars and rumors of wars all throughout the world. And so where is the possibility of hope? Well, it's certainly in the story and the promise of the Bible. CJ, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
And, of course, CJ, why don't you tell our listeners what really motivated you to spend, the last 10 years you had this website up there, but you took several years before you put the website up simply to compile the story of Jesus, the chronological story of our Lord as taken from the four Gospels. Why did you want to do that at this time in history?
Good question. And how many times have you asked me that? And I'm able to come up with a different answer every time because there are so many reasons. Part of it is just what you were saying, Dr. Stan, realizing that we're living in perilous times and the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. The only way we can be fully prepared for the future is to belong to Him. He's the one that said, I go to prepare a place for you. I hear the music.
You go right ahead. I'll head you off there.
Okay. And so I did it so people could prepare for heaven.
And I think that's really so important, ladies and gentlemen, because as times get worse, the one thing, you'll lose everything you have, but you at least will have the Lord to rely upon. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, CJ, you go right ahead, because I concur with you totally. the one thing that we may very well have, and maybe the only thing that will survive that we will have, will be our belief and our...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
And the other readers with the story of Jesus, it is really the greatest story ever told.
Absolutely.
And you want people to be acquainted with the overall story, then they can go back and they can read the various scriptures. Of course, my favorite happens to be John, but each one has its own significance, its own importance in its own specific way, and they're there. All of them are there because God wants them there, and the story told the way he inspired the writers to tell it. But it's nice to have an overview, and when we're dealing today with a lot of people who don't know the scriptures at all, who really don't understand the story, who don't understand the relevance of Christianity and what's going on today, and they're concerned about what's going on in the Middle East, and they're concerned about the implications as far as certainly the economy is concerned, and what's this going to do to the value of the dollar, and what's going to happen as far as America's relationship with China, and what about the possibility of war, and they really don't understand that none of these things can be understood or explained if you do not understand the spiritual implications of what's going on today. You pick it up from there, CJ.
Absolutely right. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good summary. Well, I'm here today to plug the scriptures and to show you why they're unique. Not only are the words inspired, the stories inspired in the Gospels, but the order in which they're put are inspired. So, for instance, you've got the story of the rich young ruler, and that story is in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. the only gospel it's not in, is John, your favorite. So it's in three gospels. So why would the Holy Spirit arrange this story to be in three separate places? And the answer is in the context. So let me acquaint your listeners with the story and then tell them to tell them why it's arranged the way it is. And I think it will encourage them greatly to look at the Bible a different way. The story of the rich young ruler, of course, is this ruler comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, and he asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, to prompt him, he says, why do you call me good? Of course, Jesus was good. And Jesus says, no one's good except God. And of course, Jesus was God. And that was the point. He said, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't bear false witness. Honor your mother and father. Well, the rich young ruler says, I've done all these things from my youth. Jesus heard this and he said, well, one thing you lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. This is not Obama, by the way. And you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. And when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing this, that he became sad, said, you know how difficult it is for those that have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So those that heard him, his disciples, said, then who can be saved? And Jesus says this, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know what happens next, Dr. Stan? In the Gospel of Luke, now in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, we move right through Jericho and we end up with the story of blind Bartimaeus. But in the Gospel of Luke, something very interesting happens. The one place, the one Gospel that tells us the story of Zacchaeus. So we have Jesus entering after he talks to this rich young ruler, who is probably Mark, John Mark, by the way. He enters Jericho, and passing through, there's a man named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus, he's the chief tax collector. He owns the tax cartel in Jericho, probably the richest man in Jericho, probably one of the richest men in all of Israel. He made this rich young ruler look like a piker. And he was seeking to see Jesus. He's up in the tree. Everybody knows the story of his diminutive stature. And he climbs up in the sycamore tree, and Jesus passes down, looks up at Zacchaeus, and says, come down here. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus hurries down. Jesus goes to his house, becomes his guest. The man is saved. He goes from sinner to saint. Zacchaeus gives away half his goods to the poor, and it says if he's defrauded anyone, he'll restore it fourfold. What's the lesson? The lesson is that God has arranged these two stories, one after the other, to prove this point. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Which means that there's no one out there, no matter what your condition, that God cannot save. And this is why we wrote the story of Jesus, because it's to put people in contact with the only person in the universe that can save sinners from their sin. So that's a long answer, but that's one of the major reasons we wrote the story of Jesus, to acquaint people with the Savior.
And basically, you know, it's in many respects, you know, if you're not well acquainted and well studied in the Scriptures, it's nice just to have a narrative. Now, this in no way detracts from the Scriptures. In fact, the whole idea is get people into reading the Scriptures.
Absolutely.
But I can remember when I first went off to the military, and this is when I was about 20, 21, something like that, and I can remember verses taking the train down to Texas, to Fort Sam Houston, where I was going to be taking my basic training. And somehow I came across a copy of a book called The Story of Jesus. And it was basically very much like Buck is, like CJ has created, and it was just told the narrative of the story of Jesus. But I was fascinated to read it. It was certainly, I'd been raised in a nominally Christian home and gone to Sunday school, but it was wonderful just to read the whole story and then to understand that here are these people who disciples have been with Jesus, And they believed that he was who he said he was. In fact, they all gave their lives. Every one of them was martyred or crucified, except, of course, for Judas, who ended up committing suicide, and of course, John, who did live to old age. But all the other of the original disciples gave their lives because they believed in this. And, you know, you don't give your life unless you know something is true. I mean, certainly some of them might have, but they all did. And it's really the most wonderful story, as sort of we said earlier, the greatest story ever told.
Absolutely.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, you can find this website at thestoryofjesus.com. thestoryofjesus.com. You can go to my website and scroll down, and it's listed there on the front page, or certainly you can go to your own computer and pick it up. But if you have a question for CJ, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And CJ says that they always seem to be getting well over a million hits a year. What was it, 1 year you got 1.7 million hits on your website?
1.7 million unique visitors. We get a lot more hits than that. That's just the unique, that's actually the number of unique persons, people that have come on the site. And the amazing thing is they spend the average amount of time that people spend on our site is just under 15 minutes. That's extraordinary. So they're reading the story. And I think one of the reasons is, Dr. Stan, that we've made this real easy for people to interact with. If you don't know anything about the Bible, if you don't know anything about biblical places, of the characters that were around in Jesus' life, you want to go to the story of Jesus, because we have hypertext links for every single word that may be unfamiliar to the person that's not familiar with Christianity or Christ. What we did was we found a non-Christian, wonderful person, but not a Christian, somebody that really had never been exposed to the Bible, and we handed him the story of Jesus, and we said, underline every single word you don't understand. And we started with the birth of John the Baptist, and they underscored Herod. Who's Herod? What's Judea? What's a priest? What about angels? Gabriel? Who's Elijah? What does Messiah mean? These are all questions that are answered on the story of Jesus as you go through the story, so it gives you context for the entire story.
One of the interesting things is, of course, it's broken up into vignettes, into little short segments there, and so that you read one, and then, of course, you can, then you go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Now, if you don't like to read, you can always listen to them, but, of course, I personally prefer reading, but, of course, it's simply, it's all right there, you know, and you can just stop at one point and then come back to it, or you can just sit there and read the whole thing all the way through. How long would it take somebody to read it through?
If you're a slow reader like me, probably 2.5 hours.
All right, well, what a wonderful way to learn the greatest story ever told. Let's go to Tony, and I think that this is from Michigan calling in. And I think that this is the Tony that if I'm taking up. Why, she's a dedicated Christian, and she's called us many times before. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Good evening, Stan.
Fine. I figured that was you. And have you had a chance to go to the website?
Oh, yes. I've seen that more than once.
Well, what do you think of it?
I think it's beautiful.
It's
about Jesus, isn't it?
Amen to that.
It's beautiful. The reason I'm calling, I listened to your guest there, and he mentioned the book of John, so that's your favorite scripture, and it's also mine. I love John. I'll tell you a little story.
Hold that thought for just a minute. You just hang on there. We'll let you tell the story during the break, but I don't want you to get telling the story and then I have it interrupted, but I mean, the reason John is my favorite is because it's here Jesus proclaimed not once but many times, I am God. And that is the significance. Tony, you go right ahead.
Okay. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I was having difficult with the free gospel and wasn't having with John, so I...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
And then, of course, what they will find there and why it is important.
The website is thestoryofjesus.com. And what you'll find there is a distilled narrative of the life of Christ with commentary that's faith-building. It's based on the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And like Tony so eloquently said, the website is meant to highlight the fact that not only is Jesus perfect man, the man that lived the life that we couldn't live, but he's also perfect God. And the Gospel of John, he declares that in ways that everybody can understand, and no one should be confused about. The thing that Satan wants to do is confuse people about who Jesus is. Don't be confused. In the Gospel of John, it begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him there was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And John is talking about the Messiah, Jesus. So that's what it's about. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Because I can't save you, but Jesus can.
I'm often reminded of, you know, certainly God had said, what is my name? I think maybe it was Moses who asked him, what should we call you? And he said, I am.
Right.
And of course, so that there in John further along in that gospel, he gets up and he says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through me. And of course, the Jews understood what that meant when he said, I am. That was referring to himself as God. And they were furious with him. Of course, you know, this was blasphemy for the Jewish people. Because, of course, how could any in man be declare himself to be God? Well, let's go to Leslie, who's calling from Tri-Cities area up in the great state of Washington. And Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Have a quick question for us.
I had a comment.
All right, you go right ahead.
I would just like to encourage people to go to the website, because when I first was curious, or I would hear preachers and things like that when I was younger, 99% of what they say all jives and everything, but every now and again they would say something different, and I thought the only way you're going to know the truth is if you read what it says, and then you know. So that makes a big difference, because I think a lot of people do have questions, like why does one person say this and maybe another says that, and if you know the Bible, you can always reference it and see exactly what it does say. You'll know.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And basically, of course, and there will be minor little fluctuations between, you know, something will be included in three of the Gospels and left out the fourth one. But there's a reason for it. And basically, because each Gospel, each of the four major Gospels, certainly is emphasizing a different thing. They're all written from individual points of view. CJ, do you have a comment on what Leslie is saying?
Well, Leslie's absolutely right. You know, Jesus, all through his ministry, it said he did this to fulfill the scriptures. What were the scriptures? They were the written word of God. Jesus is called the Word. He is the disclosure of God. And God chose to reveal his Son to us in this generation through his Word. There was only one generation on this planet for 30-some-odd years that had the privilege of knowing Jesus, and only for 3 years during ministry. So God has placed tremendous importance upon his Word, and actually we have an advantage over those that actually lived in the time of Christ, because they may have seen a miracle or two, but by faith we have a written account of all the miracles, and then what happened to the church afterwards, and we see how the Holy Spirit worked and brought the church forth. And we have all the promises of God in one place, in that Bible that we love so dearly. And so Leslie is absolutely right. You can trust the Word.
Well, I think it's important, basically, when you're dealing with somebody who really doesn't understand the Gospel, who hasn't read it through, I think once they've read this narrative, then they'll be able to go to the Scriptures and understand them ever so much better. But they'll have the big picture, and then they can read each individual Gospel and see how it fits into what they've already read. Leslie, thank you so very much for calling from Tri-Cities, and I just keep right on listening, trying to get other people to listen and to go to thestoryofjesus.com. God bless you for calling. And CJ, we're out of time. We'll look forward to talking to you a little later this month.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
While the storm clouds gather.
The
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Garden.com. Of course, I've planted a garden with the seeds that Buck sent us, and we had our spinach salad this evening, from the spinach from the garden. We have certainly the radishes, we have certainly onions, small onions. But Buck, I wanted to know, we have some very large onions with large stalks on the top and sort of like almost like a fluff ball on the top of that. How do you know when those onions are ready to harvest? And how do you know when they're completed, they're growing to the top style, or what happens?
The ones that you see, by the way, it's Seed Catalog, not SeedGarden.com. Seed Catalog.
I'm sorry, Seed Catalog.
That's all right. We got Garden and Owner Mind. That when you see what you call a little fluff ball, what that is those onions are bolty. That means they're putting on seed. And if you want to, this is the time that normally it's the second year out when onions bolt, but occasionally they will do that in the first year. So if you want to collect those seeds as they start to dry, just snip that off and bring it in the house and let it dry out on your counter and separate the seed. You'll have onion seed out of that. The way that you, there's three stages to collect onions. One is when you thin, and that's where you get your scallions or green onions. And I just went out to my garden this morning for my breakfast and pulled up about a half dozen of the green onions that have not created the bulbs on the bottom of them yet. But they're too thick for them to do that, and I thin them out and eat them. The second is when they get about the size of a half dollar, and they make a delicious sweet pearl onion when you pick them like that. And third is you lay them all the way to maturity. What will happen, those tops will start to brown and drop down on the ground. And when they lay down, that you're to the point where the bulbs are as large as they're going to get, And if you get late in the fall, some folks actually will break them down so they'll produce the bigger bulb. But you know they're ready to pull them out of the ground. They're not going to grow anymore when those green tops lay over. And that's when the onions are done. But you don't want to wait till then to eat them. You want to do them all three stages. That to me, onions and garlic is the elixir of life.
Well, I know. I certainly do enjoy them. And the ones we've had so far have been delicious. We have some of the small ones. But basically, then, when would you want to take those seeds off? Would you wait till they begin to die and begin to get brown? Or would you pull them off now? They're green. The stalks are green. The stalks are strong. At what point would you take the seed balls off the top of them?
As they start to lose their color, the flower appearance to them, that means that the seed is maturing. And I would take them off as the stalk starts to darken brown along the top where it's at, and just pinch them off at that point. And that's when you collect those seeds. And basically, you'll put them inside of a cloth bag or a cloth and shake them kind of like you're winnowing wheat to get the husk off of them. The seed, there'll be a little seed about the size of a pinhead in there. That's what you'll collect.
Okay, fine. Well, Chris, we're learning all of these things. I think it's important that people do learn about growing food. Now, I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I had a good friend of mine who has a lot of connections over in China. He called me today. It's the very, very upset. His friend had just come back from China. And he's actually Chinese, has very powerful connections over there at the highest levels of government. They're claiming by the end of next year why the Chinese currency will have largely replaced the American currency as the reserve currency of the world. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I will tell you that certainly this is very, very similar to the message that Lindsay Williams' friend had told him, that by the end of 2012, the dollar would be dead. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be gone, but it would mean that it's lost a great deal of its value, and it would cease being the reserve currency of the world. So we're in for some very real problems, and there's going to be inflation in this country. People need to learn how to grow their own food, and I think this is something people have pretty well forgotten, don't you think, Buck?
I am in total agreement with that, Dr. Stan, that ultimately, food is your greatest asset, and it's also the world's greatest weapon. That he who controls the food controls the world. And there has been a variety of things taking place to take the control of the food substance from the hands of the people and put it in the hands of government. A couple of weeks we talked about Senate Bill 510, which is far-reaching into control the food supply, even to mom and pop's gardens. But if you've been reading the news, you'll see that cities now are policing people who are putting in gardens. There was a lady that was arrested and given 96 days in jail because she wouldn't eradicate her vegetable garden in her front yard. They said it didn't meet the standards of the community. And so that there is an active force in place by design to control the food source. And by doing that, they control people's behaviors and people's attendance to what they're going to do. And so everyone ought to have seed. That there's the Second Amendment. Everybody's worried about guns being confiscated and taken away, and they hide their guns and bury them. That you need to consider what you're going to do for a food supply. And everyone ought to be preserving some kind of sustainable, renewable life in a garden. If for no other reason, like you mentioned, it's just a wonderful thing, and it's a great experience, and it's far better and superior food. But there may be a day that you'll have to provide your own if you're going to get it without having to kowtow to some type of condition to get food. And what a wonderful thing it is to be in a place of power, not only for yourself but others, where you can provide food, nurturing, and substance for those people you care for and yourself as well. So I think, in my opinion, in whatever that's worth, I think everyone ought to be familiarizing themselves now with planting a garden, knowing how and when and where to produce their own food, so when that time comes that the dollar deflates and a tomato costs $10 at the grocery store, that you're able to grow your own food and have plenty of healthy, nutrient-rich food for you and your family.
And, ladies and gentlemen, the people who want to destroy the population of the world, people like Bill Gates and certainly the people from the Rockefeller Foundation, Monsanto, they're the ones who are creating all the genetically modified foods. they have set up a what we call the Doomsday Seed Bank up above the Arctic Circle, where under military guard they have non-genetically modified seeds, and they're guarding them there. Why are they doing that, spending millions of dollars on a Arctic tunnel, where it'll be constantly frozen? I believe that they're keeping those seeds there so they'll have them when they start in all over again. And that you do not understand. These people are deadly serious. They've already killed the people in favor of population control. Probably 1.5 to 2 billion people either killed them or prevented from being born. They're killing millions every year. Of course, as you haven't heard my talk on population control or planned population reduction, need to get it. But if you read their writings, they really do intend to, by a disease and pestilence and war, to kill off billions of more people. We're going to learn, you must learn to look after yourself. Now, the website is seedcatalog.com. And basically, you offer a number of different seed collections, and you offer fertilizer. Tell our listeners what they can get through your organization and what they'll find on the website.
Well, we carry a variety of different approaches to gardening and survival long-term. That the probably the best seller we have in the survival is the basic seed bank. What that is it's enough seed to plant an acre of fresh food and produce that will start producing early spring through late fall in non-GMO'd heirloom seeds that are sustainable, renewable, and collectible. And so the basic seed garden will plant an entire acre and be collectible for the next year's seed. And I think everyone ought to have one. The people in my family who I care for, they have one of my seed banks. And the personal seed bank next down to that is a half acre of seed that comes in a triple wall PVC pipe. So these seed banks are sealed in Mylar, then sealed in the triple wall, and they can be buried or tossed in your freezer like Bill Gates is doing up in the Arctic Circle, freezing their seed to increase longevity. And then we let your listeners build their own seed banks that we'll pack in Mylar and then the triple wall, any seeds they order over $50, so they can build their own seed bank of their own preferred seed. And then we have what we call the Gardener Pack, that what I sent to you was the Urban Garden Pack, which I think is around $30. I can't remember now what it is on the site. But basically, it's enough seed to have a patio garden, small greenhouse with a variety of seed, everything from greens all the way through to melons. And then we do a small backyard garden, a large backyard garden, that with a single click, you can order that seed for those gardens. And then we have the tomato lover packs and the pepper lover packs and the herb lover packs, which has a variety of the four mentioned, where you can order those with a single click. And then over 200 different seed varieties where you can pick and choose. We had somebody just recently ordered a single seed pack, nearly 1,000 different packs of seed that they wanted for gardening. So we'll send them to you in a pack at a time, or we'll send them to you in collected in packs or in the survival seed banks. Whatever your needs are, we want to meet your needs in that. And then we have organic fertilizer. We call it Uncle Buck's fertilizer. It's my own special mix that I put together. It has a variety of ingredients, including bone meal and seed meal and lime and calcium. And it also has in it volcanic matter that has over 70 different trace elements in it to put good nutrients back into your ground so that your plants produce a good, wholesome fruit for you. So we carry about everything along those lines that you need to have a good, wholesome garden.
Now, what will they learn if they go to your website? I mean, you have a lot of information up there on planting and saving seeds and other things, don't you?
Yes. If you go to seedcatalog.com, you're going to find some very good articles. These were written by professionals that we hired who know their science and who know their technology about the dangers of GMO seeds and as well as of cross-pollinization. Some very good articles on the nature of seed collection and when it began and why it started and where it's headed. And then on the store itself, if you go inside the store and shop in the store, on each category we have a zone chart that'll tell you where you live, what time you ought to plant each seed that you're going to be planting, and the amount of days to maturity, how long it'll take for you to harvest the crop. And it'll give you some planting tips on how deep and how far apart. And then we also have a link that'll kind of give you some harvesting ideas of preparation and how to preserve your food. So we got a variety of information for your listeners that helps them once they get the garden in to grow it healthfully, and then after they get it grown, to get it preserved so they can have it for next year.
And, of course, the whole idea is you want to have a supply of seeds on hand, or maybe a couple of years' supply of seeds on hand. And of course, Buck will go ahead and put them up for you and put them into a plastic tube. Is this some sort of a plastic pipe that they can actually just bury in the ground where it'll remain cool and those seeds will remain viable and dry?
Yes. The enemy of seed preservation is light and moisture. So what we do is we take the seeds that are properly dried, and then we put them in a Mylar bag, 4.2 millimeter Mylar bag, and then we seal them in that, which protects them from moisture and light. And then we put them in a tri-wall PVC pipe that's sealed. So it's a second layer of protection against the elements, but also against obstruction. So if you do bury that hit with a shovel, it's not going to break it open. Or if you put it in your freezer, it's a second barrier of insulation against frost with moisture forming on the inside. So it's a long-term preservation. The seeds will keep indefinitely. The years out, you'll lose germination rates, but testing has been up to 20 years on the germination rate, and most of the seeds will hold an 80% at 20 years if they're properly preserved. So it's a good security. And in the future, it may be as valuable as any other commodity, gold or silver or precious metal, as far as having trade or currency, that people that have the source to renew food will have a source that also allows them to get other things that they need in order to survive in this time that's coming on America.
Well, it really is loads of fun to do it. And, of course, the seeds, the peas, you know, 10 days ago, why, of course, it just, you know, the pods were there, but there were no seeds in it today. Why, the little peas there are well formed, and certainly the peas and beans and squash and cooked like squash. And now, what about melons? Is this the time to plant them, or is this too late?
No, that melons are a, depending on where you live, is the time that you put them in. That in the colder climates, melons are generally somewhere around 55 to 80 days for maturity. So you want to make sure that you get them in the ground, the seed in the ground, before that time that they put on fruit. But generally, like where we're at here in the Applegate Valley, you can put in melons right now, and they've produced into the fall time where you're at would be a good time to put them in, basically anytime up till the end of this month. But the main thing is knowing your frost date and how many days you have in a planting season, and looking at the seed, and each seed that we sell will tell you how many days it takes until it produces fruit, and being ahead of that frost date with it. And it's good to stage your produce in your garden. The reason why everybody plants everything at once at one time is that's because when the nursery sells the seeds and the plant material, so you put everything all at once and it comes mature and at the same time. So it's good to stage it, maybe like your corn, to plant maybe two or three rows every week, so that it's staged where you're getting fresh corn over a period of 6 weeks rather than 6 to 8. And tomatoes, the same thing, to stage them, maybe plant part of them 1 week and part of them 2 weeks later and part of them 3 weeks later. Peppers, the same thing. Peas and beans, so that you're staging your garden so it produces over a longer period of time, because that it's not all coming mature at once. And the growers and producers want everything to happen at once because they want to collect it once, produce it once, and then sell it at once. But as a home gardener, you want things to produce through the summer into the fall. And you do that by staging your garden and not planting everything at once, just kind of rotating them in every week or two.
And, of course, the thing is, as Buck has pointed out on previous programs, first of all, you want to have your soil made of compost and manure. But then, of course, during the course of the season, while you want to put on the fertilizer with the bone meal and the lime and the other things in it. In fact, I just put, it was just this week now, I put the fertilizer on the plants. I'll be looking forward to seeing what happens here by next week. So as we've gone there about, about 5 days now. And what does it do? Take 10 days, 2 weeks before you begin to see the effect when you fertilize?
But the younger the plants are, the more profound the effects are in a shorter period. The older, the longer it is, obviously, to get through the system. This maturity level of your plants, that you should start seeing a difference in them out after the first week and through to the third week.
Right now, once you get out your telephone number, twice, get it out there.
All right. Telephone number is toll-free 888-866-9132.
One more time.
888-866-9132.
And it's seedcatalog.com.
Yes, sir.
You can go up on my website. Just look under Heirloom Seeds. You'll, on the front page, you'll find it and go directly to it. A beautifully put together website at seedcatalog.com. Okay, fine. Well, now, basically, lots of people going to your website, lots of people going.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
His site and clicking on Heirloom Seeds, and the phone number is toll free 888-866-9132. One more time, it's 888-866-9132.
And I guess it's been Buck Keeley. God bless, and we'll look forward to talking to you later this month. Bye bye.
Blessing to you. Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm telling you, I'm having a good time. My wife is having a good time, and we've got the garden in. It's truly miraculous to see, put those little tiny pinhead-sized seeds in the ground and a few weeks later see the plants coming up. I think it's something we all ought to start doing in preparation for the very difficult times that lie ahead, and I hate to be a downer, but I'm not going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be all right, because the America you have known is not going to exist. They've got us into such a hole financially, there's no way we could ever pay off all the massive debt that we have. So they've decided that they're simply going to destroy it through inflation. Now, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to lie to you, but that's what governments always do. They always lie because, of course, they don't want to tell you the truth. But, of course, they are in the process of destroying the value of our currency. And this goes right along with what I got from a very reliable source today. At least over in China, they're saying by the end of next year, why the major world currency will be the Chinese yuan. Whether that's true or not, well, I hope and pray that the information is false. But it goes along with the other information we're getting. Make your plans accordingly. Get out of debt, lay in supplies, and then, of course, learn how to rely upon the Lord, because this is one of the few things, perhaps the only thing, that's going to get any of us through the difficult times that lie ahead. Well, this is the time when I hope that people will go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, all sorts of information there. You need to know. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret and on the Dark Secret and get the syllabuses to go with that. Certainly you need to get our 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. You need to get the book on the DVD on the Bohemian Grove put out by Alex Jones. And then if you want to see the fictionalized version of this, it's a movie called Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise. And of course, it was put out by Stanley Kubrick, who died shortly before the film was ever released. Why? Because it shows you how the elite of the world meet with their hoods and their capes and their candles. And when you look at the DVD that Alex Jones has put out, you get that off his website, or certainly you can get the whole DVD from us. You'll see the leaders of the world with their hoods and their capes and their candles. And basically, they revere the owl. We have their secret publications, and if you want them, just send a request. We'll send it to you. They're not supposed to be released. But in this, they talk about how they their deity, their titular deity is the owl. Their titular deity is the owl. In other words, they worship the owl. What is the owl? The owl, of course, is the emblem of Moloch, of Satan. This is their writing. This is not what I say. If you want to see it, that would be glad. You can just get something from us, ask for a copy. We'll send you copies of their secret publications that are not to be seen by anyone, but these are very old, so we can copy them. They're out of copyright. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we do hope that many of you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America, bringing people the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, why, of course, it's Friday evening, 9 o'clock here on the Pacific Coast, and our guest is William Grigg, former senior editor of the American magazine. Now he, of course, writes his own blog, has his own radio station, and he's kind enough to write the Radio Liberty newsletter. I was certainly taking the liberty of, certainly after 10, 12 years of writing a newsletter every month, why I've asked William to do it. He's doing a great job. William, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure and a privilege to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I just got your publication, latest publication today, and read it, enjoy it, and that'll be going out as our June newsletter. One of these days we'll get caught up and we'll be doing the July newsletter in July, but right now we're just getting caught up. Anyway, why don't you tell me, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
One of the things that we have to talk about, given what's happening with the budget impasse and the prospect of what is being described as an apocalyptic impasse over the issue of raising the debt ceiling, of course, is the origins of our indebtedness and the effect that it's going to have probably very quickly on what remains of our economic health and vitality. We've reached a point now where, at least for partisan reasons, people on both sides of this very narrow partisan divide are starting to talk about what's going on in the economy and giving some hint as to how truly bad things are. The unemployment numbers were released within the last day or so, and people are now admitting that we're looking at what are described as near-depression-era statistics in terms of joblessness and the length of people being unemployed. There have been some items of discussion in the most recent batch of economic reports focusing on the idea that people of a certain age, men in middle age, late middle age, may never actually find employment again. Charles Krauthammer, who's a commentator for Fox News, a syndicated columnist for the Washington Post, and one of the brightest luminaries in the neocon pundit firmament, actually made that point. And it's a very compelling point, I think a very correct analysis. And we're now hearing in about the length of the economic decline and the fact that we're looking at the longest period of sustained economic decline, that is to say negative growth, one of the euphemisms they use for the contraction of the economy, in the post-war era. And that's something that I think represents them slowly pulling back the curtain to let people get some glimpse of how bad things really are, while still trying to find some way of softening, euphemistically, how bad things really are. They're underestimating the depth of our depression and our economic crisis. They're understating it by at least one half. But the fact that they're willing to admit this much, I think, is very important. It's being done once again for purposes of this kabuki theater of partisan gamesmanship over the question of whether to raise the debt ceiling or whether, and this is a discussion we're hearing now for the first time, the president supposedly has the authority unilaterally to order certain forms of spending in the name of stimulating the economy. And I think that's the real focus of this. The solution that they're proposing is being defined by the way they're depicting the crisis.
But, of course, the difficulty is if you keep spending money you don't have, why you get yourself deeper in debt.
Mm-hmm.
40 cents out of every dollar the government is spending today is borrowed money. And so what's the solution? Well, we're giving money to dictators throughout the world. We have a new war in Libya. And, of course, they're going to simply borrow more money so we can give it away and waste it. That doesn't make sense. Go right ahead, William.
And that, of course, the issue of what's going on with foreign policy is what most people are not willing to address here. They're willing to talk about all the horrible things that are going to happen after the credit rating of the world's largest deadbeat, which, of course, is the federal government of the United States, is revised to reflect the fact that it is a bad credit risk. And this is something that's going to happen eventually. And people are talking about Social Security and Medicaid and the entitlement programs. They're talking about what's going to happen in terms of means testing and other very minor modifications in terms of the output that is going to take place in all these supposed deferral programs where there's this generational contract that people would supposedly receive Social Security and the Medicare and Medicaid can be expanded and things of this sort. They're all talking about this, but they're ignoring the big issue here, which has to do with our conversion into an imperial welfare warfare state. The fact that for the last couple of generations, the government of the United States has been spending as much as it has because of the way that it has morphed from what had been an imperfect and flawed and corrupted constitutional republic into really this engine of permanent imperial expansion. And this is being driven in large measure by this evil bargain that really unfortunately goes back to the founding era with respect to the rise of Hamilton and the banking interest faction within the founding era, the creation of this entente between the people who occupied the highest realms of finance, the bondholder class, if you will, and a government that exists in evil symbiosis with it, that is going to be borrowing money on the public credit of the United States, perpetually putting us into debt, which creates, of course, this huge constituency for people who make money off of debt, and the time-honored fashion, the best and most enduring way to satisfy the needs of the bondholder class, the bankster class, is perpetual war. There's always been this evil relationship, this, once again, to use the word symbiosis, this symbiotic relationship between the war-making element of every government and the money-lending element internationally. And the substance on which the war god feeds, if you will, if you want to characterize war in that fashion, is debt. Of course, debt as well as lives and treasure. You always have the idea that lives and treasure being expended in these foreign ventures. So wherever there's mass killing going on, there's also mass debt being rolled up. And
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cindy William is simply pointing out that we have an empire. America has an empire, and of course, as we've pointed out many times, we have troops stationed in over 130 nations throughout the world. We have 720 foreign military bases. It's all about an empire. But of course, we built our empire on borrowed money. Whenever we have a war, we certainly don't tax the people. We don't raise taxes to fund certainly the Vietnam War or the Korean War or the First Gulf War or the Second Gulf War. If we raise the taxes, the people would be furious. They wouldn't want to pay the taxes. So we simply borrow the money. And, of course, we borrow more money and more money. Of course, you have to understand that the way they calculate the debt is totally fallacious. Every corporation in the United States is required by law to use the General Accepted Accounting Principles, GAAP, G-A-A-P, General Accepted Accounting Principles, so there's actuarially the money that they owe their pension funds for taking care of their people, oh, you know, who are they working for them or going to retirement, except our own government. Our own government doesn't abide by these rules. If you look at the federal deficit using the GAAP principles, it's $50 to $60 trillion, and it may even be much more than that because we now have the FDIC debt, we have the debt of our Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and of course, since the states by law can't go bankrupt, of course, then the federal government's going to have to take on the massive deficit of the states, and so we may be talking even up to $100 trillion. There's no way it can be paid off. The only thing they can do is simply destroy it, simply by destroying the value of our currency. which is exactly what they're doing. But they're not going to tell the American people that before long, within a couple of years, what they're buying now is going to double or triple or maybe even quadruple in cost. And, of course, the money is not going to just progressively deteriorate. And with that, of course, other countries will turn away from the dollar. They will certainly try to embrace some other medium of reserve currency of the world. All of this is coming, and it's coming within the next few years. We're headed into very, very difficult times. But they're trying to allay your apprehension. Oh, the Republicans and the Democrats are going to work this out. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no solution to this problem. No matter what happens, we're going to lose the value of our currency. Now, we maybe could get some of our industries back again. It would simply put on tariffs. It would simply raise the taxes on our American corporations operating in China. So they would pay a 50% corporate tax, and they would have a 5% corporate tax here in the United States, a 10% at the most. Why, you'd hear a huge sucking sound, and that would be the American corporations coming back to America. But since the leaders of both the Republican and Democrat parties are in on the scam, they have no intention of certainly trying to bring the jobs they've sent overseas back again, because they're intent upon destroying the financial structure of America. But they can't let the American people know that, and so everything else is political theater. Until they start talking about raising the taxes on corporations overseas and lowering the taxes on corporations here, and they have tariffs to protect our jobs, we don't need the rest of the world. They need us, except they're going to our leaders are head upon destroying it. You go right ahead, William.
Well, one of the things that your analysis very skillfully pointed out is the fact that you have this Leviathan state that is organized down to the local level on the principle of immunizing this public caste from the economic consequences of public profligacy. And one of the things that you mentioned with respect to the way that the bookkeeping and accounting methods are distorted for the benefit of the tax-consuming class, that's, of course, the sort of thing that would be literally criminal if it were engaged in by people who are in the corporate realm who are not politically protected. There are plenty of politically connected corporate interests that are allowed to get away with all kinds of corruption because of the fact that they're rent seekers. They're part of this combine, this public-private partnership. But if you are a small or medium-sized business, if you are somebody who is actually out producing something in this economy that is all but moribund right now, then you'd be made a hate target for the purposes of propaganda in this budget impasse. Suddenly we're being told about all these supposed benefits and loopholes that have to be closed in order to make the rich pay their fair share, that we should balance the budget on the backs of the rich and privileged, that somehow there has to be shared sacrifice that would involve putting a bigger tax bite on the people who are still producing jobs in this economy, people who for patriotic reasons or for reasons that are rooted in their attachment to local economies are still out expending capital and trying to turn a profit in exchange for offering goods and services that people want in this economy. Those people are being targeted for extinction right now for the benefit of this entrenched corporate class and the political class that it serves. And they're not discussing the fact that what is driving our indebtedness and has been since 1947, 1948 or so, when the national security state was first inflicted on us, is that national security state. Just in the last week or so, we've seen these analyses that have been really shunted aside during this entire crisis over the budget, talking about the fact that an estimated $4 trillion has been spent or will have to have been spent. You know, the sunken costs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan amount to $4 trillion. That doesn't take into account, of course, what's going on in Libya, which the Obama regime refuses to call a war. They refuse to admit that hostilities are underway. And as I pointed out before, if we're to believe that that makes sense, then I guess we're going to have to call bombing and the fomenting of a military insurrection against the Libyan government kinetic military congenialities, I guess is what we'd have to call that. But that, of course, is something else that's being carried on at the periphery, and then we've got remote drone strikes being conducted in Pakistan and in Somalia now and in Yemen, and heavenly knows where else. But all these, of course, represent part of this huge multi-trillion dollar undertaking in imperial power projection, none of which benefits the independence of the United States, let alone the life, liberty, and property of the people who are supposedly to be protected by the government of Washington, which, of course, is in no means protecting us. It's acting in the interest of this increasingly feral power elite that we're describing. And the other thing about what's going on in Libya that cuts right to the core of what you were saying, Dr. Stan, about the impending destruction of the dollar is the apparent fact that one of the reasons why Libya found itself targeted here was discussion by Gaddafi of moving away from the dollar, the petrodollar accord, which has been the only thing keeping the fiat dollar afloat since it was sundered from gold back in August of 1971. The fact that the Saudis, the leading element within OPEC, were willing to exchange the world's most coveted commodity and pretty much the foundation, the fuel, actually, of the international international industrial economy, it's petroleum. They're willing to exchange that for fiat dollars issued by Washington, which are instruments of debt, which have no value apart from the fact that they're accepted in exchange for things of value. That's what's kept the dollar, the common currency, the reserve currency of the world. There have been several occasions in the last 10 or 15 years in which people, admittedly very disagreeable regimes and thoroughly horrible people, such as Saddam Hussein, and there's been discussion of this by the people running the government in Tehran as well, have talked about moving to some other basis for conducting international petroleum transactions. Iran actually, of course, has an oil bourse, an oil market that accepts, among other things, euro and yuan and other currencies, as well as dollars, I guess, as an instrument of last resort in exchange for oil. And this is something Libya was proposing as well. And, of course, Muammar Gaddafi, being many horrible and repellent things, is not stupid. He's somebody who went out and invested very heavily in gold. He's sitting on a huge store of gold, and he was talking about creating a market that might involve eventually the use of an international Arab currency backed by gold. The gold dinar is something that has been discussed by Gaddafi. It's also been discussed by a number of other countries in the Gulf region, and the Turks have been talking, perhaps, about the idea of a gold currency. One of the things that's discussed in some of the more Islamist elements of this uprising throughout the Arab world is the idea that if they have the creation of this transnational Muslim entity, I don't know how they style it. Some people here in the West say that there's an effort to recreate a caliphate, and one of the things that has been discussed is the idea that the caliphate would be a hard money entity, that it would do business only in gold and silver, because according to the understanding of some people in the fundamentalist element of the Muslim world, that's the only currency that is actually Quranically sound. Whether or not you happen to accept that analysis of how the Muslims would view that question, that is a constitutionally sound approach. I mean, here in the United States, we come from a vastly different tradition, obviously. The founders ordained that gold and silver would be the constitutionally sound currency. And the fact that the government of the United States completely rebelled against that very wise restriction and instituted fiat currency, beginning, of course, 1913, which really is sort of year zero for a lot of the horrible things we're dealing with, and then escalating to the point of 1971 to where you have the complete sundering of connections between the dollar and gold, that's the source of a lot of our problems. It all has to do with the idea that you cannot have a hard currency and limited constitutional government and create the empire that these people have been setting out to build. So we're dealing with the inevitable repudiation of an imperial fiat currency, and there's just no way around it. It's going to happen, and the consequences are going to be inconceivably horrible for our standard of living.
But I think, of course, the elite are putting away gold and silver.
Yes, they are.
The currency of the elite, certainly the banking class, is gold and silver. Our currency is worthless paper, and when it's destroyed, it's destroyed. We become impoverished, and the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. They know exactly what's going on, but the last thing they want is the common people to know. William, go right ahead.
There's a...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
The average American doesn't understand that the real foreign policy of America is to dominate the world and bring it under control, and then, of course, merge us into this one world system. And, of course, suddenly our industries, so many of them are tied to the military. We built a powerful military, but we were warned against the dangers of a military, even going back as far as James Madison, who pointed out that, you know, once you had this powerful military, the power would be misused. In fact, certainly our founders really feared a standing army. We didn't want a standing army. Why? Because they knew that the power of that army would eventually be used not only to create an empire, but would be used against the American people. Today we have a North American command. We have a South American command. We have a European command. We have an African command. We have an Asian command. There are generals in charge of all those commands. There are troops in 130 nations. But William is about to tell us about something about his guitar and the fact his son plays a guitar. Go ahead, tell us the story, William.
We end up looking into the question of why it is that the guitars that are manufactured by these nominally American companies, such as Gibson and Fender, are so prohibitively expensive, and why the quality seems to have declined. And it turns out that they've all been amalgamated into corporations that are run by some of these handful of mega corporations that are military contractors. So basically, we're buying guitars from the same people who are manufacturing, you know, bombs and missiles and guidance systems and things of that sort. And it's almost a parody of the sort of thing that you'd see. It's almost like the sort of parody you'd see in some of the satires that were produced in the 70s and 80s predicting the emergence of one great big corporation. But it's just really strange how in something as peripheral to the discussion of politics as buying electric guitars and hardware such as amplifiers, we'd find ourselves actually spending money on some of the same corporations that take our money in the form of taxes in order to be building armaments that are sold to really horrible governments in Asia and Africa and so forth, and some of these same corporations that are involved in joint ventures in China and Russia and places of that sort. But literally, it's become ubiquitous. I mean, it was really impressed on me a couple of weeks ago when I had that discussion with a fellow who runs a retail guitar store in Treasure Valley where I live, and we started talking about the corporations that were involved in taking over pretty much the entire retail guitar market. And he was disgusted because he's a small operator. He's somebody who tries to do well by his customers and provide them with good products at reasonable prices, and he services them. And he's very disgusted at the shoddy craftsmanship that's going into these very expensive and overpriced nominally American-built guitars. But I say nominally because a lot of these parts are no longer manufactured. They're assembled in the United States, but not manufactured here. But he has a different set of grievances with the same cluster of corporations than I have. I didn't realize that our interests overlapped here, because here's this guy who's an artisan and a small capitalist struggling to get by, living on the ragged edge of financial ruin, because he can't maintain the economies of scale that these big competitors can. And one of the reasons this is so is because everything he earns is taxed to support the same people who are running him out of business. And this happens all the time in pretty much every single area of the economy here that's not politically protected by this combine. But I was referring to this book once again, The Cross of Iron, about the origins of the national security state. Here, the beginning of Chapter 3, The High Price of Peace, Guns and Butter Politics in the Early Cold War, the author makes this point. Few principles of traditional public policy were so sacrosanct as that of a balanced budget, and few were so compromised by the national security state that emerged in the early years of the Cold War. Although the principle had been challenged during the Second World War with the forced expenditures on national defense and during the Great Depression, neither of these experiences had driven the American people from their strong attachment to a balanced budget. This was a value buried deep in the country's political culture. The depth and persistence of this attachment owed as much to moral and to political as to fiscal considerations. In the cultural narrative to which most Americans subscribe, individual initiative, fiscal prudence, and a common concern for the public good had combined to make the United States a unique success. In this narrative, budget deficits corrupted public policy and private lives alike. They contributed to the growth of state power with its potential for abuse, and they unleashed inflation and debased the currency, which discouraged private savings, robbed citizens of the incentive to produce, and undermined the public welfare. And all this, of course, is why there are so many people who opposed the creation of the welfare warfare state back in the late 40s and early 50s. What came along was a convenient crisis called the Korean War that blew away all those objections and entrenched this monstrosity that is now destroying what remains of our economy through public indebtedness.
And basically, of course, the Korean War was simply a make-believe war. We weren't even allowed to hit the major supply depots in North Korea. We couldn't even bomb the electric generating plants. It was all a make-believe war, just like Vietnam, and basically, of course, all designed to bankrupt America.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is William Gregg, and we're talking about certainly the warfare, welfare state. And, you know, basically, of course, the Korean War and the Vietnam War were all fought on borrowed money. But by the year 1980, when Jimmy Carter was running for re-election, the federal debt was not quite $1 trillion. It finally got to $1 trillion at the end of the Carter presidency, when Jimmy Carter borrowed ran a deficit of $2 billion. And in 1980, why, of course, the federal debt stood at $1 trillion. And Ronald Reagan railed against that. $1 trillion took 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion of debt. And Jimmy Carter had actually increased the deficit $200 billion in the 4 years he was the president. So Ronald Reagan got in, and every year he was in office, every year he increased the debt to $200 billion. When Ronald Reagan left the presidency, the debt was about $2.7 trillion. But it really was only less than about $5 trillion when George Bush came in. It was pushing $10 trillion, of course, when George Bush left the presidency. And now, of course, it's $1.4 trillion simply with Obama. In 3 years, he's increased the national federal debt about $4 trillion. I mean, how long can you continue doing this before the whole house of cards comes tumbling down? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the whole house of cards is coming tumbling down, and people better recognize what's happening, because there's no better way than to destroy a nation than through massive debts. Our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know, do they?
That's exactly right. And you point out, Dr. Stan, that the house of cards, proverbial house of cards, is in the middle of collapsing. And we're dealing, of course, with houses of cards that are stacked on top of each other, and they're pancaking each other.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, because we're simply talking about the collapse of our financial system. Oh, they keep talking about, oh, my goodness, you know, we cannot simply default on our debt. We've got to, of course, increase the amount of money. We're in trouble because we've been borrowing too much money. And how are we going to overcome this? We're going to borrow more money. Isn't that logical? Well, before we go on with this discussion, I want William to tell you, our listeners, how they can get to his blog site, how they can listen to his radio program, and how they can find his PayPal button, because, of course, we had to talk him into putting that PayPal button on. He did not want to put a PayPal button on. He didn't want to ask people to help fund him. And I said, William, you're going to survive in this business. You've got to do that. This is how we maintain Radio Liberty. And that's, of course, how you are going to be able to support your family. And he's done it. So he does have a PayPal button. We support him, and we hope you will as well. William, I want you to tell our listeners how they get your blog, how they get your radio program, and how they get to the PayPal button.
Dr. Stan, I greatly appreciate all of that. And my blog is called Pro Libertate, ProLibertate, Pro Libertate. And the easiest way to find Pro Libertate, the blog, is to Google that term and use my last name, Grigg, and that'll be the first return. Or you can go directly to the blog at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Blog is a really odd word. Of course, it's a recent coinage. It refers to weblog, that's B-L-O-G. So it's freedominourtime.blogspot.com. My radio program, which airs every Sunday afternoon from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock Central Time on the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, is also called Pro Libertate Radio. This is not a live interactive radio program. It's a pre-recorded and live broadcast radio program. It's also available as a podcast. That's another expression that entered our vocabulary just within the last 10 years or so. And the podcast can be downloaded at the Liberty News Radio website. It can also be listened to by way of live streaming over the Internet. If you go to libertynewsradio.com, you'll be able to find a list of radio stations that carry the programs put out by that network. And also, of course, there's a whole slate of programs people can use to listen in real time, to stream the program in real time on the Internet. That's libertynewsradio.com. You also mentioned, Dr. Stan, that there is a place at my weblog at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, the Pro Libertate website, where people can make donations by way of PayPal. There's a button for my PayPal account at the bottom of every essay. I try to publish between 2 and 3 times a week as my schedule will permit. And Dr. Stanley, you're entirely correct. People have been tremendously generous in keeping me and my family alive, keeping us a vital proposition, as well as keeping the Pro Libertate blog up and running and helping to support my other ventures. One of the things that I have been doing over the last few weeks is giving a copy of my book, Global Gun Grab, as a gift to anybody who provides a donation of $10 or more to the Pro Libertate blog by way of the PayPal account at the bottom of my blog. The Global Gun Grab book came out 10 years ago. It came out in 2001, and it was originally written because of the work that I had done in covering the United Nations conference on small arms and light weapons 10 years ago. What's happened, of course, is that since that time, a lot of what has been described, what was described in the book by way of sort of a premonitory warning for the UN-based policy towards civilian disarmament, has been carried out, albeit somewhat stealthily and at the periphery of most people's attention. But the program described in Global Gun Grab entails the militarization of law enforcement, not only in the United States, but in other countries, whether you're talking about an invasion by a UN-mandated occupation force that would involve using foreign troops as domestic police officers. That's something the United States military has been doing almost exclusively now for a generation. Or whether you're talking about initiatives that result in the police becoming more like an army of occupation. These things all come through the United Nations. They don't necessarily begin with the United Nations, but they're all channeled through the United Nations. And we have in our country a very good example of how this happens, and practically nobody is talking about this. Nobody is talking about the fact that this so-called war on drugs is a civilian disarmament program, or at least is very compatible with the United Nations program for what they call general and complete disarmament. That program was disseminated in 1961 in this Freedom from War document that the Kennedy administration announced. It's something that had gestated during the Eisenhower administration. That's a really good example of the seamless continuity between a Republican internationalist administration and a Democratic internationalist administration. All this stuff was set in motion during the Eisenhower era, and then it was picked up by the Kennedy administration. If anything, the Kennedy administration was just a little bit less enthusiastic about these multilateral ventures than the Republican Eisenhower administration had been. But the Freedom from War document came out in 1961, and it envisioned a three-stage plan with the United Nations eventually having a functional monopoly on military power, and every national government having an effective monopoly on weaponry within its own borders, enforced by what they called an internal security force that would be militarized law enforcement agencies. And in 1961, the United Nations also came out with the single statute on narcotics that posited the goal of a drug-free world, which is something that's not going to happen this side of the millennium. But that document was used to bring about the globalization, if you will, of the war on drugs, the prohibitionist policies that have been started by the United States government. Actually, before being started here in the United States, they were field-tested in the occupied Philippines from 1898 till about 1910 or so. And then we ended up with prohibition being picked up here in the United States, and that included eventually marijuana prohibition and prohibition of narcotics. They're all bad things, of course, that all been completely legal 120 years ago. This is not a nation of dope fiends when those substances were legal. But the thing that I want to point out here is that these two trends, both which are filtered through the United Nations, coalesce into the situation we have now, where we have SWAT teams and paramilitary task forces prowling the countryside, supposedly to protect us from the fell enemy of the narcotics cartels, but actually conducting seizures of property in the name of asset forfeiture. That's something else that comes through United Nations Convention, the 1988 Vienna Convention on Narcotics, which internationalized the practice of civil asset forfeiture. And you have these interstate or multi-jurisdictional task forces becoming self-sustaining engines of plunder, where they go out and they seize property from people never formally charged with crimes, and use that as proceeds to fund the acquisition of military hardware from the Pentagon, from the law enforcement support.
We hold these truths.
The law enforcement support organization, LESO, that was something that was inaugurated in 1995 under Janet Reno, appropriately enough, or through the Homeland Security Department. But all these things are really elements of the same program that bears the fingerprints of the people responsible for the United Nations, and this is all discussed in Global Gun Grab, a very thin book. It's only about 120, 130 pages. But it's not out of date by any means. The reason why I went on this rather lengthy discursive commentary here was the fact that Global Gun Grab is being offered here as a premium in my blog for people who donate $10 or more. And I'm very grateful to them and to you, Dr. Stan, for all that you've done in order to help me maintain and preserve what I'm doing here by way of a career and not merely a vocation in the career sense, but something of a vocation in terms of what I think is a calling. I really think that this is something that people have to do. They have to be telling the truth as we're given the wisdom to understand it about why it is that we're in this horrible predicament that we confront as a country. I really appreciate everything that you've done, Dr. Stan, for many decades to help awaken people and mobilize people, and particularly I appreciate your generosity toward me and my family. And
well, you know, as I look back over my life, you know, I don't know why my life has been lined up as it was. I never intended it to turn out this way, but I feel that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and God has provided me with a wife who will support me and a family and the wherewithal to do what we're doing. And I look across the country at our friends who are doing similar things, and whether they're simply writing a blog as you are, whether they're doing radio, whether they're putting together our television programs, and we know half a dozen people doing an excellent job on that. But I believe people are, certain people are called to be involved in this battle. Other people are called to support them. Other people are called simply to talk about what's going on. But we each have a part to play, and if we have an idea what it is, then, of course, we dishonor our Lord by not following through with the assigned task. And I think that you've been assigned to write. You do such an excellent job on this, and you're certainly an articulate spokesman, but certainly when it comes to writing, by Christ, unparalleled. This is why I'm so pleased that you are writing our newsletter. So let's go right ahead with the discussion this evening.
Well, I do appreciate that, Dr. Stan, once again. I really appreciate the opportunity to be writing the newsletter for you. That's a real privilege. When we were talking here about the foundation of this ghastly military-industrial complex, of this garrison state, this national security state, all this, of course, is tangled up in the question of the United Nations. Most people who are opposed to the United Nations, not enough people are. I mean, relatively few people are aware of the vain influence that the UN has had on our policy and the way that it's been used. A lot of people, I think, misunderstand the nature of the United Nations. They see it sort of as a beachhead for a foreign occupation on behalf of an alien power. But I think a better way to look at it is as sort of a holding company, if you will, for something that's going to replace it, that's going to be even worse. But it was created primarily by an international power elite, the largest and most influential element of which was composed of people who were Americans by birth, but who don't share the convictions that our founding was based on. You know, people who were born in the United States, but who embrace an internationalist view of the world, whose loyalty is to people who are likewise part of that caste, those who have sort of appointed themselves to be the supervisors of the rest of us and who treat us pretty much like cattle. These weren't foreigners who created this entity, and it wasn't created to conquer the United States from without. It was created as a way for people working through the government ruling us to aggrandize their power and to make it unaccountable. And if, once again, you take a look at what's going on with the Libyan conflict, the Obama administration is not even pretending as if it considers itself to be bound by the Constitution. It's using the supposed obligation to uphold and expand the power of the United Nations as a justification for ignoring the constitutional requirements to have a declaration of war and to ignore even the War Powers Act, which, in my opinion, is a constitutionally spurious enactment, not because it detracts the power of the president, the powers of the president all being derivative. The president has no separate powers with respect to warfare or any other venture that involves spending money. They're all derivative of the powers of Congress. But the War Powers Act is dismissed by the Obama administration because it supposedly impedes what they can do in terms of having the president conduct a war on his own supposed authority. But this is all rooted, as the Obama administration has pointed out, in the idea that the overriding, the primary, the paramount, that's the word that they use, the paramount interest in foreign policy on the part of the United States government is to preserve and expand the power and prestige of the United Nations. And this has been the objective, once again, of foreign policy since no later than 1947. We'd made reference earlier to the Korean War, which, as you correctly point out, Dr. Stan, was largely fanciful or a contrivance, fabrication. It reminds me, as does the Vietnam War, as do a lot of other wars that we've seen, particularly in the last half century or so, in which the United States has been involved. It reminds me of the ritual that my Aztec ancestors engaged in called the Flower War. And the Flower War was a staged and completely choreographed conflict that didn't have the purpose of destroying the army of a targeted city. I mean, they would declare war against a city or a tribe surrounding their imperial capital, and then they would buy off the leaders of that tribe, and they would bribe them to leave their armies on the field and then betray them into the hands of the Aztecs without so much as a shot being fired. Of course, they were using firearms at the time. But without serious bloodshed, they'd be able to conquer an entire army and then take the conquered soldiers as slaves or as sacrificial victims for the altars of Huitzilopochtli, which was their war god. And that's sort of the same kind of a thing in terms of the choreography of stage management that we have in the Korean War and in some measure in the Vietnam War and elsewhere, where you had the government in Washington doing business with, trading with, and building up the enemy that was fighting and killing American soldiers in places like Korea and Vietnam and even Afghanistan, for that matter, Iraq. Saddam Hussein was built up by Washington for a number of decades and until literally the first bombs and missiles were let fly in 1991. There were high-ranking members of the first George Bush administration at business deals helping to build up the military-industrial sector of Saddam Hussein's economy. And most of the casualties that were inflicted in the first Gulf War were the result of a single errant Scud missile strike that took out a company of people from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And the company that had built a component of the guidance system used to target that Scud missile was headquartered near Latrobe, Pennsylvania. It was one of these tendrils of one of these vertically integrated corporate monstrosities that have been involved in this combine. But the Korean War really entrenched the idea of the United States using its military as the enforcement arm of the United Nations and its subsidiaries. And there's another key document I made mention before, the National Security Act of 1947, which I think is, I don't want to use the expression Magna Carta, but it really was sort of the grand manifesto of the national security state. There was a classified 58-page National Security Council document that was written and issued on, I believe, April 14th of 1950, just a couple of months before the Korean War began, called NSC 68. It was maintained as a secret classified document for a quarter of a century later. But it envisioned the creation of this permanent, globally engaged American military establishment, as well as the grotesque expansion of presidential authority and the use of diplomacy and foreign aid, which, of course, is entirely unconstitutional, to shepherd countries, fully independent countries, into regional or broader associations, I'm quoting now from the document, regional or broader associations of states consistent with the United Nations Charter, and then to make collective security the guiding principle of American foreign policy. And it's, of course, our imperial foreign policy that has driven the collective security agenda. And as you see now, we can't afford it. It's literally destroyed our economy. It's literally destroying our livelihood in real time. And this is the year where we start to feel those long-deferred effects of the improvident imperial foreign policy we've been willing to tolerate for a generation.
And, of course, it's because our leaders don't have any loyalty to America. They want a one-world government. They want a one-world currency. They want a one-world religion. They want to destroy Christianity. And they're doing a great job of it. We'll be right back in just a moment. William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, once again, thank you so much for the honor and privilege of being on your program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 8 July 2011. You're in the right place today. You're at The Power Hour. Thank you so very much for joining us. Caring about your world and wanting to have a feel-good Friday, like we don't deserve it. We sure do. Joining me in the studio today is Josh. Thank you, Josh, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, are we glad to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, Friday just doesn't come soon enough.
Man, I don't. It's coming quicker and quicker,
oh,
it seems
is,
like.
Isn't it? Isn't it? Somebody's speeding up that old clock again.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Anyway, we are glad to have you join us today. Hope your gardens are doing well. Hope you are getting the precious produce out of your garden. I got to tell you, we are so thankful and grateful here at the Power Hour for all that Denny does for us. We've got amazing produce this year. Josh, you said, we're telling me you got a few hornworm problems,
oh,
huh?
Oh, man, I've never seen hornworms like this.
Really?
They're as big as some of your cats. They're about 5 inches long and like, you know, half an inch to three quarters of an inch around.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it.
Chickens love them.
Yeah. If you've never seen a hornworm, you don't want to. Let me tell you, they're ugly. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us today and caring about your world. We got lots to talk about. And we do have a feel-good Friday in the third hour. You're going to enjoy this. It's time that we allow ourselves to feel good about the things we should be feeling good about. So you stay tuned and see what that's going to be. We're going to talk in the second hour, though, about a story that's pretty unique, and that is someone who knew Jim Jones. Now, many of you don't recall or probably don't know much about Jonestown. If you were in your swaddling clothes at that time, or like Josh, just learning to walk, you probably don't remember